Hi, this is Denna Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who have been called to various types of ministries in their churches and in their communities. Today, we're here with Shelton Campbell, Music Director at Trinity Allgood.
Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Welcome, Shelton.
Thank you so much.
We're glad you're here with us today.
Glad to be here.
I did a little bit of research before the show, and you grew up here, or you went to Tennessee Tech, is that right?
Went to Tennessee Tech. Originally, I'm from Gallatin, Tennessee. Okay. Grew up there, in my college years, junior year, transferred here to Tennessee Tech to obtain my bachelor's degree.
Where did you go to school before your junior year?
I went to Volunteer State Community College, the main campus there in Gallatin. Sure did.
Yeah. What was your degree at Tennessee Tech?
I graduated from Tennessee Tech with a business degree focusing in management information systems.
What were you like in college? Did you study a lot?
Had to. there was no option but to study and do as best I can and get out of college eventually. So
absolutely. Yeah. So heads up, all the students out there listening, study hard.
That's right.
How did you get from business administration to music ministry?
Music ministry really has been a part of my life for probably since the day I came out of the womb. My parents were pastors of a church before I was born. And just kind of give you a little brief history on that. They pastored a church that did not have any musicians in the church. It was hand clapping and knee slapping and tambourines, and that was worshiping, a lot of singing to go along with it. And so their prayers was that their children would grow up to actually be musicians. My brother, who is 6 years older than I just have one sibling, grew up to be a drummer, played in the church since the day I could remember. And always looking up to Big Brother, idolized him and started playing drums a little bit, kind of picking up on that. But really took off for myself playing keys. And so my learning from that was basically from ear. Never really had any structured lessons or anything like that. But I could hear a tune and try to mimic it, and just kind of took off from there. Transformed to playing guitar, which is what I primarily play now, being in the church, involved in worship music and getting plugged into our small little worship band that we had there, and got involved in youth camps and participating in worship teams there. And when I came to Tech, got involved with Chi Alpha Campus Ministry, which is where I led worship there as well. And then being that the church that I serve at now supports Chi Alpha, kind of gave me a little bit of a foot in the door potentially start leading worship there at Trinity. So it's been quite the journey, but yeah.
Shelton, you're married to Nicole, and I'd like to know a little bit about how your relationship works in ministry. I think we're never in ministry alone. How do you and Nicole sort of work that in your daily lives?
It's become a part of who we are, really. I would say in the early on years of our relationship, being that she was never really in a household where, church was your second home, so to speak. It took a little bit of an adjustment. When you lead worship, it's not, or when you're in the worship ministry, it's not just, singing songs on Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 type lifestyle, where it's not only doing worship, but you're also, you've got pastoral duties that go along with that too, that demand your time outside of the 8 to 5 typical work day. And so balancing that took a little bit of an adjustment, but also communicating is huge, especially on a relationship basis. For young marrieds, or if you've been married for however long, you still got to communicate. So I think what we try to do is try to balance that the best that we can, and not so much bring work home, because there's a lot of behind the scene things that happen within a church that aren't so pretty, sure. And that I strive to almost kind of protect my wife from that, and not give her a bad viewpoint of certain things that may happen in the church, you know, because, you know, you're dealing with people. Right. Where was I going with that? I don't even know.
After a short break, more conversation with Shelton Campbell. I'm Dana Hornby, and we're back with The Calling. Today we have Shelton Campbell, music director of Trinity Allgood, with us. Shelton, did you have a favorite genre of music growing up?
My favorite genre of music. So growing up, I guess you could say I lived in a pretty sheltered household. Being called a PK, I guess you could call me that. A lot of it was gospel music, mm-hmm. and contemporary Christian music, stuff like that. We listened to anything that falls into that genre. So that was basically what I was accustomed to, what my ears was kind of drawn to. And so even though I had awareness of mainstream music, you know, I always gravitated to
sure.
what my ear yeah. listened to most. So
when you experienced your call to ministry, having seen your parents, witnessed them as servants of the church, how did it feel when you began to discern your particular call to ministry?
Yeah, I would say for myself, it's almost like salvation in of itself. You know, you grow up doing things a certain way for so long, it just becomes a part of what you think is right until you find that for yourself. I think for me, when I received the calling of worship, it was something that was definitely real. It was something that I didn't necessarily have to so much work for, that I knew that God already equipped me to be able to act in this area of service. I think even with all the years of participating in worship in the church, from a youth camp standpoint, all of that, it was for a purpose. It was for a reason, and that was God shaping me and molding me to be placed in a position that I am today, very grateful for that. I think and having the encouragement just somebody behind me to encourage me and lift me up, such as my parents, who have always been inspirational to me, especially to pursue what all you can possibly do. You know, there's nothing too big for God. So I don't think that there's anything that is too big that I can ever achieve as well. So, you know, coming from a small little church and then being placed on a platform such as Trinity, you know, man, it kind of took me by surprise for a minute. You know, it's kind of like, hey, Shelton, you're used to 100 people on a Sunday morning for Easter service. That's what our services look like. And then being before a congregation of hundreds on a weekly basis, it shows you how big God is. You know, even you're not performing for anybody. It's that one-on-one connection with Him every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. You know, worship is connection with God the Father and Him alone. So right. No matter how many people are there, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Were your parents surprised when you said, hey, Mom and Dad, guess what? I'm going into the ministry.
I don't think they were.
They were like, hey, welcome to the family business, son.
Yeah, I think so. I think they just as much knew that God had a purpose and a plan for me. And using my gifts and talents that God has equipped me with on such a level as this. And I don't think it was a surprise for them at all to see God do what He did. So
it must have felt good. It must have been the fruition of their life's work to see their son continue that legacy for God.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned going from a church of 100 to a church of hundreds. Yeah. And that leads me to question, does worship become perfunctory, or is it something that you really can engage in as you're doing it? Is it something that you have to sort of focus on? This is my job to create worship for the hundreds who are coming today. And how do you respond personally?
Yeah, I think the way that I kind of perceive it is, you know, our worship experience is kind of based on how people come into the service and their hunger and their desire for God. I don't think that, yes, worship leaders are put on this platform, on this pedestal to be, hey, man, you're in charge of firing everybody up and getting everybody excited for God. And well, yes, to some degree, yes. But I think it also it's just as more important in the hearts of those that we're ministering to. They almost set the stage just as much as we are, because of the expectation that they come in to the service with. And if they're expecting God to do some great things, if they're hungry and thirsty for God to do some miraculous things, not only in their lives, but in the lives of those that are standing beside them in the congregation, I think that's just as much as important, and kind of sets the stage for the service and what's going to happen there. So
I'm Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. You're listening to The Calling, and today our guest is Shelton Campbell from Trinity All Good, and Shelton would like to share a motivational moment.
Yeah. So today's devotional is entitled Worship Living. It comes from a series of devotions from Brandon Dempsey from his series called Life of a Worship Leader. And I just find it to be something that's very important, especially not just for a worship leader, but for a Christian in general, in that worship is not just what you do or partake in on a Sunday morning or whenever your services are, but it's a lifestyle. And so he goes on to say, worship is not as much singing as it is living. Simply, we live what we sing. The song varies from where we place our hearts, on earthly things or the eternal things of God. Colossians 3:1 says, if then we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, we are to take captive every thought into the obedience of Christ. When we do, we store up for ourselves wisdom that fears the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We become transformed to understand God's glory into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 reads, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So what is our image of worship? Well, it should be Jesus Christ. We are to live as Christ. He is the substance and breath for daily living. Created for good works, we walk in worship and do the things he has prepared for us to do. Ephesians 2:10 reads, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to offer ourselves daily in worship as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12:1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I just I'm thankful for that devotion, in that the fact that, you know, life, again, as I echo what the author says, it's a lifestyle. It's a daily sacrifice. God desires to be with his children. You know, I think we get so caught up in the fact that we attach the word worship to music and congregational singing and stuff like that. But no, worship is how you live your life. Worship is the way that you devote your life to Christ, being an example of him in every situation of your life. And so thankful for that. So may that encourage you too.
I'm Dena Hornby, and this is The Calling. We're back with Shelton Campbell, music director at Trinity All Good, and we're going to end our segment today, Shelton, with the top five. This is where I ask you five questions, and you get the option to plead the fifth on one of them.
All right.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. If you could fly or be invisible, which would you be?
Fly.
Fly. Where would you go?
Anywhere. I don't know.
Anywhere but here?
No, I love here. Cookville's great. So.
Okay, next question. If you had a gag reel of your life, what would be on it?
A gag?
Gag reel.
Gag reel, like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like all the bloopers of your life?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have many. I'm sure there are many. I'm just not thinking about them.
Okay. You want to plead the fifth on that one?
Let's plead the fifth
okay,
on that
pleading
one.
The fifth on that yeah. one. If you were arrested for a crime, what would your lovely wife, Nicole, say that crime was?
She would say not going the speed limit.
Oh.
Reckless driving. How about that?
Heads up, state troopers. What kind of car do you drive? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to share that one.
Okay, let's see. Shelton, what's the cleanest joke you know?
What's the cleanest joke I know? Man, I'm not one to really tell a whole lot of jokes. Can I plead the fifth on that one, too?
Nope, you've already pled the fifth, but I'm going to give you one.
You're going to? Okay.
I'm going to give you one.
Help me out here.
What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
I don't know.
One is really heavy, and the other is a little lighter. Okay, a hippo is a large animal,
yeah. And
a Zippo is a little lighter. It's a cigarette lighter. It's a...
Okay.
See, Shelton's led a clean life. He's not a smoker.
I told you.
Not a smoker. Okay.
Very protected life.
You can tell that one to your parents. I bet they get it.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Did you ever have a favorite Christmas present?
Probably a guitar.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What kind of guitar was that you got for Christmas?
It was a butterscotch Squire Fender Telecaster.
Nice. How old were you?
Let's see. Probably about 15, okay. 15, 16, okay. Somewhere around there.
Did you take guitar lessons?
I did not. In fact, when I first started playing guitar, there was about three guys in my class that we all kind of picked up the guitar at the same time. So we would all run home, learn something, and run back to school the next day and try to teach each other what we learned and just kind of picked up on.
Do you remember the first song you learned?
The very first song? No, I don't know what the first song was, but I'm sure there was a plethora of different things that we touched on.
All right. What about, have you ever texted the wrong person?
Yes, I have.
How'd that work out?
Probably not very good.
Do you want to offer an anonymous apology? The air is yours.
Oh, man. If you're listening, I'm truly sorry for what I did. It was not intended for you.
So. Awesome. Shelton, you have just been absolutely delightful. Thank you for sharing your story of your calling today on The Calling.
Thank you so much.